stretch by the big left-hander. The pitch hit to deep left field. Trouble all the way back and gone. A three-run homer by Ha-Sung Kim. And the Braves, just like that, take a 3-1 lead.
Yeah, that wasn't supposed to happen, Pat Hughes. This is Raheem Ian Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. And what looked like a possible no-hitter was in play turned into a 5-1 Cubs loss to the Braves to close out the series. What? But that's pretty much what happened there. Unfortunately, as we heard Pat Hughes describe, Ben Brown came in. Cade Horton was pulled after five innings of no-hit baseball. He threw 75 pitches. He had six strikeouts to only one walk. So, once again, Cade Horton doing Cade Horton things. Ben Brown comes on in relief. He suffers the loss. And unfortunately, we are talking about a Cubs 5-1 loss after something that looked very different to begin with earlier in the game. And the question that we all had, at least Team Tyler, Robbie, and Layla, were like, this is crap. If somebody has a no-hitter, and we just heard the general manager of the team tell us that he didn't have a specific limit, then let him play.
Okay, let's not mischaracterize. We got to get to this right away because you're mischaracterizing what the GM said.
Hold on. What did the GM say, Robbie and Tyler?
Play it.
Let's hear it.
It's certainly something that we're thinking about. There's no hard caps on any of our pitchers. There's, you know, some old, you know, old rules about, you know, 20%, 30%, and, you know, injury rates. And, you know, when you actually do the research on it, those are pretty well debunked. But we do know that every time you throw a baseball, you have the risk of injury. And the more you risk injury, the better chance you are going to get injured. And so we're monitoring, you know, not only, you know, workloads, but also the stuff, how guys' deliveries look, how they're looking in the weight room, their body composition, all of those different things. And, you know, we're definitely going to, you know, err on the side of not trying to redline him here as we get closer to the playoffs. But at the same time, there's no cap on him, and he's put his body and himself in a really good position to be able to extend himself a little bit here.
He told us that yesterday. Okay, was Carter Hawkins yesterday on with us.
Do you know
the
question that he was answering?
And you know what's really funny is he said no cap. There indeed was a cap in many ways.
You're not listening. Hold on. The question was not included there. The question was innings, not pitches in a game. It was innings. There's no cap on innings for the season. That's what he was answering. That's why I was trying to get the three of you guys to come off your meatballness and understand.
It's not meatballness.
It is. Here's why it's meatballness.
It's baseball sports sensibility. If you have a no-hitter with 75 pitches,
baseball,
you keep pitching.
Baseball sports sensibility. If Cade Horton is out here since the All-Star break, giving up four earned runs since the All-Star break, and averaging, going into last night's game, 74.4 pitches an outing since the All-Star break. Why in the world would you believe he was going to stay in as long? I guess you want him to finish the game, right?
There has
pitches a game?
Throwing a no-hitter.
I don't care. Do you want him healthy or not? Do you want him to pitch in the postseason or not?
So here's my point. Was he going to pitch a complete game? No, he probably was not going to do it. But if they're trying to win, if they're trying to win the Central, why at five innings, at 75 pitches, he can't go the sixth, he can't go the seventh? The reason they lost is because of their bullpen.
No, it's not. The reason they lost is because they scored one run.
No,
how many games do you win when you score one run? Hold on. The person who has not said anything about this, both in the group chat and on this show, Grody, how many games do you win when you score one run?
Very few. And I was very proud, and I was shocked that they did score that one run because it was trendy. Because they had a man on third with
nobody out
and two outs, and your backup utility outfielder luckily saves the day with a single in that spot. I tell you guys, I do err more towards Marshall on this one. Like,
thank you.
Maybe this is wrong, but like, I'm gonna trust the organization on their young prospect pitcher who might
lost the game.
Be there. Absolutely.
They lost the game.
But Robbie, one thing to your point, because you were talking about they're trying to win the division. I don't know. Of course they want to win the division, but I think that they have sort of changed their sights. If you listen to the way Craig Counsell speaks, that he admits that Milwaukee has been awesome, but they're still in a great place to be in the postseason. And with all the fickleness of pitchers and young pitchers. And this is not the first time that an organization has gone through this. I always think back to Steven Strasburg, and maybe there's better examples.
No, he is the best example.
When they just shut him down, and everybody was mad at Mike Rizzo, the GM, then for doing that. And I'm sure
Scott
that they were.
Boris, too.
Yeah, that they were up in arms. This pitching is a dealt. And I know that Carter Hawkins said that some of that stuff is debunked, but I don't care.
Well, he was talking about the season and the innings again. If you listen to the question, innings.
Right.
I was worried about him being able to pitch enough innings to get into the postseason. Also, Craig Counsell talked about this after the game. And once you heard him, I was like, what are you guys even talking about? Listen to the manager.
No. So here's the thing. Do you know when the last no-hitter was in all of baseball?
Yeah,
it was last year. It was the combined no-hitter with Shota Imanaga, Nate Pearson, and Porter Hodge. You have to go back to August of last year for the last individual one. That was Blake Snell. Prior to that, it was Dylan Cease. Not that I want to throw that name out there, White Sox, but still. Point being, it hadn't even happened this year. And I think, more importantly, in Steven Strasburg's case, his career was not guaranteed. You can kind of fudge it with the fact that the playoffs are not yet guaranteed, but they're very close to having them be that way. Now, I always say that because of what happened in 2023 when they had the 90% chance in the first week of September and then catastrophically missed the playoffs that season. In this case, though, nothing is guaranteed for Porter Hodge. Or for Porter Hodge. Nothing. Well, him too.
Porter.
Nothing is guaranteed.
He was out
nothing
there last
is guaranteed.
Night.
Yeah, he was. He came back sneakily and then suddenly I was like, oh, we're going to use him. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you go from Cade Horton to Ben Brown, your Pomerantz, and Porter Hodge.
Pomsey.
Interesting.
Pomsey. Didn't we decide on Pomsey the other night? Drew Pomerantz? Is that his nickname? Pomsey?
I hadn't officially,
like
but
Bomsey,
I'm okay
he's
with.
Giving a bomb.
It was rough
okay
last
with
night.
You being part of it.
Yeah.
But that's the point. None of this is guaranteed. None of it. And that's why it's hard when you're watching somebody do something that's amazing and matching what he's been doing. As you mentioned, we talked to Carter Hawkins about since the All-Star break.
Hey, listen, I'll say this. When you guys were talking to me in the group chat about this, and I was like, I don't understand why they're being so unreasonable. I then listened to Cade Horton post-game, and he has a much more sensible approach to this. Here's what he had to say after the game.
With a no-hitter, are you maybe trying to talk your way back in?
Jokingly. I know at the end of the day it's not going to happen. And that's all right. Like, I feel like, you know, I'd much rather be healthy for the postseason than go out there for the 6th or 7th in early September.
How do you joke it, you know?
You just ask for one more inning. Just tell them, hey, give me one more. And it's always no, but, you know, at least I tried.
And the beautiful part about Cade Horton there is he would go on to say the 75 pitches or so that he's been pitching since the All-Star break has helped him because now he knows that's what he's got to get to. It helps him to scale down the moment. It's like, go out there, get my 15 or so outs, and do it as efficiently as possible. It's actually turned him into a better pitcher. So I don't understand why you guys want to mess up what's been going so well for him. Instead, focus on the freaking offense.
But, okay, so you can also win a baseball game 1-0. My point is, why can't he just go longer if you have a no-no?
Because he wasn't going to go 9, and that's the prescribed.
But if he goes 7 innings, and you have the 8th and 9th inning, you can pitch Palencia, you can pitch Keller, you can pitch Caleb Thielbar, instead of having to toss out Ben Brown and Taylor Rogers. That's not that move yesterday was a Cubs 2032 move. Like, what are we going to do in the playoffs
now? It was
now?
A Cubs 2025 postseason move.
No, it wasn't because we're still trying to...
How many pitches is he going to throw in the playoffs? No, what is he going to do in the playoffs now?
You should be able to, number one, throw more than 75 pitches in a game if you throw in the playoffs.
I threw 75 pitches as a little leaguer, and I was terrible.
Well, I will say this. Little League baseball, unfortunately, we're realizing that the miles on the arms is leading to a lot of these guys having to get Tommy John when they get called up. Let me hold on here. So I do say that, but also additionally, it's just like what we were saying. You know, this team hasn't been hitting. You know that. You don't need us to tell you. The manager knows that too. They haven't been as consistent as they want to hit. You know that you got to make up some ground when it comes to teams like this. And you know that you also need that guy in the playoffs and Cade Horton to throw more than 75 pitches. What happens when you're in high leverage, for example, and you don't have any series guaranteed, especially under Craig Counsell's watch? Unfortunately, he's familiar with that history. You'd better let him go out there and cook when he can. He needs to experience high leverage. He needs to experience what happens when the game... when the game is on the line. I agree.
How many pitches did you want him to throw? How many pitches did you want him to throw?
You could have him out there for seven innings, and it gives you a better guarantee of, or even six. Six a quality start gives you a better guarantee.
An MLB starter should go 100 pitches every game. That's what a MLB starter should be doing, 100 pitches.
That's not this version of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that's... First of all, we're talking about two different things.
If we're considering him as the ace, he should be throwing 100 pitches.
He should at least throw six. The quality start metric, as much as we talk about it with Jameson Taillon, as much as we talk about it with others, should apply to this one too. I know he's a rookie, but you know what? The other people mentioned when it was talked about as far as five inning outings since the All-Star break is your boy Tarik Skubal and Paul Skeens. Well, they also know how to have a quality starter too. So, okay. If there's no cap, there's no cap.
No, the cap again was on the innings, not the pitches per game. That's how they were. That's how they are monitoring it, by monitoring his pitches per contest, his output per contest. You just were told how he views it. If you can't follow the pitcher himself, who's clearly in line with the organization, you guys just want some stuff that ain't happening because Cade Horton is coming off injury.
You could argue it's training wheels. In July, he threw 90 pitches on the third against Cleveland. He threw 94 on the ninth against Minnesota. He threw 86 against Boston and 84 against the White Sox. Where in that month did he throw 75 pitches?
And then they scaled it back, understandably, so that they can get him all the way through postseason starts. That's why I asked the question, by the way, because I was like, okay, clearly you guys aren't saying he's going to be shut down at any point, but how are you capping anything? Like, we're not doing it by a whole, okay, he can only pitch this percentage over what he pitched last year. That was in the answer that we played. But you still got to be careful with what you're letting him do when he is out there. And now he's in a comfortable place where he can pitch 70. I don't know if he'll pitch 80, 90 pitches in the postseason. I would hope so. But at that point, you're in the postseason. You're in the bonus. You're going for it all. Right now, that's not where we are. We're just trying to keep him in line.
They're trying to win the division, though. That's a game they should have won. And
get
it's because
more
of
offense.
Him.
That is why you're struggling with the division. Make sure Kyle Tucker's healthy. Make sure PCA's out of the funk. And please, somebody, figure out what's going on with Seiya Suzuki.
But they can't pluck the offense out of thin air, or else they would have done it already.
Well, and Carlos Santana was in the lineup.
Frankly, they still have not had anything guaranteed to them yet. They haven't clinched a playoff berth. You still need wins to do that.
And they'll win games because they're playing 15 games in a row against teams with losing records.
But yesterday was a wasted start. And the way that bullpen was managed after that, like, you can't go one more inning and make it easier on everybody?
Yeah, Ben Brown is the one that essentially set up Drew Pomeranz. I mean, it was the right move by
Ben
Craig Counsell.
Ben Brown got the loss.
Thank you. Say that last part. It's the what by Craig Counsell?
It was the right move.
Thank you.
It was.
That's all I wanted to hear.
I'm saying to bring in Drew Pomeranz after Ben Brown to face the lefty.
And then what happened?
And then he gave up a 3-run homer, ultimately. And then did he give up the homer at Albies, too? Or was that Hodge? It doesn't matter. The Cubs ended up losing the game.
Well, there was Pomeranz, and then there was also Taylor Rogers.
That's who it was. It was off of Rogers. The one thing I was thinking about was you get to a situation where obviously he's at 75 pitches, and Craig Counsell has on his mind that he's in the midst of a no-hitter. So if you do put him out there, you're either all in with this no-hitter or not. And you're getting in a situation where you might be throwing 120 pitches. I know this for a fact.
That was never happening.
And that wasn't going to happen. I know this, and I'm sure Craig Counsell is the same, and I'm sure most organizations do this. But one thing I learned under Joe Maddon when I was doing pre and post from 15 to 17 was they have a plan going into every game. What if this pitcher is throwing a no-hitter? They literally talk about that. Are we going to let him fly? And maybe they had the luxury of doing that because you had Jake Arrieta on your staff and that awesome pitching staff that they had. But there is they do think through these. What if they're in the fifth inning and he has 70 and he's got a no-hitter? Are we just going to let him go for it, or are we going to be disciplined? In this case, they were disciplined,
but
I thought.
It was that part. It's the part you just mentioned. It's not necessarily just having Jake Arrieta. It's that they also had John Lester, John Lackey. They had a bevy of capable starters. And unfortunately,
Kyle the Hendricks.
Cubs, yeah. Yes, yes, Kyle Hendricks, appropriately.
Yeah.
The Cubs don't have the same kind of starting pitching staff depth right
now.
Yeah,
that's a great point, Layla. Yeah, but you're right, because Boyd has, like, I think Boyd's going to be okay, but this is the most pitches he's thrown since 2019 in a season.
Justin Steele is out for the season. Shota Imanaga, unfortunately, was not as sharp as he usually is
in his
last outing. Like, you don't have the luxury to let that guy throw and then rest, and that's a shame, too.
Jameson Taillon makes a rehab start tonight. That's all I got on that. I
almost forgot about Jameson
Taillon. Yeah, well, that's good. That. Yeah. He'll be a welcome shot in the arm since you forgot about him.
Amen. It's like getting a player to trade twice.
Let's not do that because they had a chance to get players in trade.
Oh, like they did with Javier Assad, and they keep optioning him.
Yeah, Javier, he's on the plan. Yep.
He's on the plan.
The plan. You're on the minor league back and forth. There was a guy for the Blackhawks named Jack Skilly who was like hilariously sent back down after almost every Blackhawks game. The Jack Skilly plan, I will call it.
The Jack Skilly plan.
I think
plan.
That was his name. Skilzy.
Skilzy.
Pomsy.
This segment with Raheem and Harris and Mark Grody is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Coming up next, we have an NFL game tonight, so you know what that means. Fantasy football is here. Paul Charchian, the man, the myth, the legend, joins us. It's a tradition, and it resumes next on The Score.
I think you're really underestimating the broad sexual appeal that I have.
Now that is an introduction. This is Raheem Ann Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score, and we go to our Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Happy Charge Day. Paul Charchian joins us now to talk fantasy football. Charge, we're happy to have you.
I'm so happy to be here. Another year on The Score. I get to talk to you guys every week. It's the best, and we get to find out now if all our fantasy drafts, we all love our teams right now, but starting in about 9 hours, half of us are going to be like, oh, what have I done?
Nah, Joe Burrow is my quarterback. I'm not worried. They play the Browns week one. I'm good. I'm good on that charge.
He's even wearing orange.
Oh, you feel pretty
today.
Good about the Bengals in early games of the season?
Yeah, against the Browns, yes. Against anybody else, probably not. If it was like the Saints, the Browns, I can't think of another really, really bad team. But those two, I feel very good about that. But tell us, because this is like that time when people are trying to figure out, okay, if I can make one more ad. So the player who went undrafted in your league who you need to get right now that is probably still out there for week one is who?
Marshall, the guy that went undrafted that you want to go get now is in Washington, running back Chris Rodriguez. And I know listeners are like, who's Chris Rodriguez? He is the third year back. That's the big physical back out of their backfield. And now they drafted another kid named Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt who went in the seventh round, and he's been rocketing up the draft boards. He went up 100 picks over the course of August. But I think Chris Rodriguez is going to be the goal line back, and I think the veteran has the edge here over the rookie. Austin Eckler will remain the pass-catching back for Washington. But Chris Rodriguez, nobody knows him, but I believe he will be the starter. He's averaged 4.8 yards per carry, 4.9 yards per carry over his 2 years in the league, and he only had 35 rushes last year, but among players with 35 rushes last year, he was number one in broken tackle rate. So let's go get Chris Rodriguez and throw that dart. Whoever you picked to the last pick of your draft, drop that guy, pick up Chris Rodriguez.
This is why we have you on, Charge. He is the owner of the Guillotine Leagues on FantasyLive.com, the host of the Fantasy Football Weekly Podcast, and he drops a lot of nuggets on @PaulCharchian on X as well. So the first round player who saw his draft stock fall the farthest is who, do you think?
It's Devon Achane. And a month ago, Achane, this is Miami Dolphins' leading runner. He was running back 10 in fantasy last year. He was good. PPR wizard, 80 receptions. That was fantastic. But there's so many negative variables with the Dolphins. You got the bad offensive line. You've got Achane's history of injury, which college, his rookie year, all kinds of injuries. And then, of course, you've got Tua's injury history. And in the five games Tua missed last year, Achane was awful. And now we have every reason to believe he's given up goal line work to rookie Ollie Gordon, who also should have been drafted in your league. And Ollie Gordon's a big-bodied kid from Oklahoma State. He looks like he's going to be the goal line back. So there's nobody has slid more than Devon Achane. He slid out of the first round entirely. He's now going middle of second round in most recent drafts. And just the mojo of Miami does not feel good.
Paul Churchy and 670 the score.
So, Paul, okay, so we know that you have heavy Minnesota ties. I know you know what Monday Night Football is looking like.
Yeah.
Tell me something good about this matchup from both a fantasy and real life perspective.
I think this is a low scoring game, so I don't love it from a fantasy standpoint, but I'm going to give you the guy that you want to pin your hopes to from a fantasy standpoint, and it's not who you might expect. And by the way, before we even get into that, Jalen Johnson's going to play, right? He's in?
We get the injury report today, Charge.
I'll tell you this, Charge. As of Tuesday, was it Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday, it was a no. It was Jalen Johnson basically said if he had to play that day, Tuesday, it was a non-starter. So he did practice yesterday. Okay. The Bears are off today. So I kind of think he will be out there. I just don't know how much. So can't call it right now.
Okay. All right. Well, obviously that would change prospects for Justin Jefferson a lot.
Yeah.
You know, Justin Jefferson especially without Jalen Johnson, or if he's hobbled on this hamstring, you know, obviously game on for him. But let's talk Jordan Mason, the Vikings' new power back. Kevin O'Connell has said repeatedly he's going to usher in a balanced offense. He's usually a top 5% pass play guy, but not this year, and not with a first start quarterback in J.J. McCarthy. You're going to see a team that wants to run the ball more than it ever has in throughout Kevin O'Connell's tenure. And they put a first round pick into guard. They got a terrific veteran center in Ryan Kelly. And then they got arguably the best guard in free agency in Will Fries. This team, they want to run the ball. And your squad was bad against the run last year, 120 rushing yards per game. And your team allowed the most rushing touchdowns, 18. Jordan Mason's the power back for Minnesota. And he's my favorite fantasy angle in the Monday night game.
Wow. Well, Grady Jarrett is on the Chicago Bears this year. So that could make
the deck.
That does help as far as the running game is concerned. So give us the quick synopsis, though, of the J.J. McCarthy evolution throughout camp, like where he was and where he is heading into this Bears-Vikings game.
The big difference over the course of camp, the arm strength was apparent at the beginning for McCarthy. The difference was the poise. Over the course of the preseason, he looked like he belonged at the NFL level. The decision-making got better. Accuracy is still a work in process for him. But Kevin O'Connell's track record with quarterbacks suggests that he knows how to get the best out of his quarterbacks. Now, again, I don't think you're going to see on Monday night, I don't think you're going to see a lot of passing out of McCarthy. I think it'll be a lot of efficient, shorter passes to try to build some confidence with him. And then there's all the tumult around the Vikings wide receivers. So Justin Jefferson missed all of August with a hamstring. The number three wide receiver, Jalen Naylor, missed most of August with a hand injury. And Jordan Addison's not going to be available in this game, suspended. They had to bring in, of course, Adam Thielen back. That's a lot of change for this wide receiver room, and another reason why I just don't think McCarthy's going to throw that much in this game, and it's going to be all about Minnesota running.
Well, and also I think I'm trying to figure out maybe if there's a sleeper pick on the Bears offense that we're not thinking about who could really flourish on Monday night.
Maybe
flourish was the wrong word.
I don't think there's a sleeper angle. So I want to get your opinions on DeAndre Swift. You may remember last year, and Marshall, you were here for this for sure. And yeah. Layla, you might have been on the show as well. I roasted Swift for the first month of the season because he was so bad. And then he went on a nice little run for like October, and then he just settled into who he is. DeAndre Swift last year, dead last in rushing yards over expectation, dead last in yards after contact, third from last in avoided tackle rate, second from last in yards per carry. I don't see him as a requisite NFL level starter, but he's the starter for a Ben Johnson offense that ran all over Minnesota last year. Jahmyr Gibbs murdered the Vikings. So I'll throw it back to you. What is your level of confidence in DeAndre Swift, either for the season and or for Monday night against a good, not great Vikings run defense?
Let me tell you something. Here's why DeAndre Swift was picked by me in my fantasy draft, because he just kept falling. I was like, oh, this is going to be an easy pick for me, because Ben Johnson, yeah, as you said, does what you just said he did last year, and he will do it again because Caleb Williams is not caught up all the way to what Ben Johnson is doing. So DeAndre Swift, there's a date, that was last week, right, where he was the only person that was practicing for the Bears at the position of running back. They just don't have the depth right now. He's going to be the guy. He really is. And Ben Johnson's used him before. I think he'll use him again. I think you're wrong.
Not only has Ben Johnson used DeAndre Swift before, he's also benched DeAndre Swift before.
Yeah, it was on his watch that Swift left. But he kept him this time, right? He did keep him this time. And I will say that as camp went on, and one of the last camp practices that I saw, a lot of DeAndre Swift, a lot of it in the final preseason game that the Bears played, a lot of DeAndre Swift. So it makes me wonder if we're getting closer to seeing what you talked about, Minnesota wanting to run a lot, if we're getting closer to seeing that from Ben Johnson's game plan, which wouldn't be a shock because we know, as you mentioned earlier, that it's all about running the football to set up the play action and to make life easier for quarterback one Caleb Williams.
Three new interior linemen there, Charge. For Ben Johnson.
Yeah, for both teams. These are the two most improved offensive lines in football, at least on paper. And that part, we're going to see these teams both try to exert their will on the ground. I think for Caleb Williams, and tell me if you feel differently, asking him, first game, totally new offense that prioritizes staying on script. I see Williams being asked to make one or two reads, get rid of the ball. The Vikings bring so much pre-snap chaos, and they blitz constantly, highest blitz rate in the league. I don't think they're going to ask Caleb Williams to manufacture things that happen off script in the pocket. I think it's going to make one or two quick reads and deliver the ball. That doesn't equal a lot of fantasy points, but that's how I see it playing out. Do you see it differently?
I see it that way just because that's what we've seen in preseason. We saw a few more checkdowns against twos against Buffalo, but that wasn't necessarily the case against Kansas City. I also think for that reason, DeAndre Swift is probably number one yard getter for that very reason. I also want to ask you this, Charge. We have a game tonight. Reluctantly, I have to bring it up. I too don't know what's going on with the Cowboys running game or frankly any other decisions, but it seems to me like if you have any eagle, tonight is your night.
It is. You're favored by 8.5 points, biggest spread of the weekend, tied for the biggest spread. This feels like it's going to be a one-sided affair. And last year, Dallas allowed the most fantasy points to opposing passers, fourth most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. So all of the Eagles that you'd be tempted to start are looking like great plays here. And by the way, why does the NFL put this matchup as their signature kickoff to the season? The Cowboys have the stench of death on them. They always have, even going this offseason, even before Micah Parsons got traded. I think it's a weird decision to make this your flagpole
America's
opening
team
game.
Charge, I also thought of you because finally the Vikings get some karma for the Herschel Walker trade.
This is... Hopefully the Vikings, you know, someday we're going to live that trade down, but I don't think this Micah Parsons trade is going to turn into that. Although I think as Viking and Bear fans, let's hope that's the case, that this becomes the Micah Parsons trade becomes for Green Bay what Herschel Walker was to Minnesota.
Well, not for Bears fans.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I will defend the matchup a little bit. I mean, obviously we know why the Eagles are there and we all agree that they deserved it, but even people love or hate Dallas, are they not the most popular team in the NFL? Are they not?
They're the most polarizing, probably.
I hate saying that because I'd prefer it be the Bears, but I accept that it is the Dallas Cowboys. Right. People love to hate or just love to love them. So really, it's the right team to put on national TV as much as possible. And I hate saying that, but it's true.
They rate at the end of the day.
The Eagles Cowboys, I frankly think, was a nod to the Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They
always do this defending Super Bowl champion ring night.
But that rivalry for Eagles fans specifically is a big deal.
It is for them, but we're all going to watch anyway. Maybe that's what they're feeling. People are going to watch no matter what, so it doesn't matter. But they could have done Washington, right? We could have had a repeat of the NFC Championship game. Playing Washington home and away, could have done that. There's so many other better options, but we do get to watch Jerry Jones twist in the wind and a lopsided loss, and there's something to that. That makes us feel pretty good deep down.
I feel like as long as the ratings checks still cash and the royalties checks and the sponsorship checks, you feel me, Sharks.
That valuation.
May everybody have good fantasy football weeks. Thanks in part to Paul Charchian. Charch, great to talk to you yet again. We are excited to have you here on Thursdays at 11:25.
Thanks, Charch.
Can't wait. Another great season. Thanks, my friends. Bye-bye.
That was Paul Charchian. You know him well. It is a Scort tradition. He is the owner of the Guillotine Leagues on FantasyLife.com, the host of the Football Weekly Podcast, and he helps you out with your fantasy football decisions. Coming up next, it is halftime here in Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on the Score, and we have more school announcements.
Oh!
You just heard Paul Charchian. We got more. Mm. You want to hear our guests for the season? We'll do it next.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
It is halftime here on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on the Score, and if you missed it, that was our big news at 10 o'clock this morning. Mark Grody, 5 days a week on our show, 3 days in studio, 2 days from the hall, a.k.a. Hallis Hall, where he bears is.
I have my special purpose. I am here with you guys.
Welcome, Mark Grody.
Thank you.
Love you, Mark Grody.
Can't wait for my first Bears Monday.
It's
going to be on a Tuesday, by the way.
Your first football Monday, and it'll be on a Tuesday.
How about that? It's adorbs. The whole thing is adorbs.
Welcome to Chicago.
Thank you. Wow, the building.
That's what they tell
you
me.
You guys got skyscrapers? It's pretty nice.
Yeah, every year or so I get welcome to Chicago all over again.
Isn't it beautiful? You are always welcome. Well, you should be more accepting of that, because then people treat you differently at night. Let me show you this. Let me take you here. Let me tell you what it's all about.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Yeah. It's like 51st dates.
51st. I thought you said 51st state.
Is that the
51st dates,
one?
The movie. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Haven't seen it.
All right. So we've got that going for us. We talked a lot about not only the
Bears.
National hate over Caleb Williams and the Amon-Ra and Equanimeous St. Brown Brothers podcast, addressing it with Roma Dunze as well, but also Jason Leisure in the Sun-Times. A really good article. Recommend you check it out if you have not read it yet. And then also what Dan Weederer, Weedsy, told us about Caleb's going to have to come to Ben Johnson. We're going to have to get used to that concept. Can't just be about what he can do. It's got to be about what he can do for Ben.
I'm all about it.
And we argued about the Cubs very stressfully. I also got a text from Bruce Levine, who made a good point afterwards. So if we have time, I'll bring it up. And then we talked to Paul Charchian for the first time this season about fantasy football.
Was Bruce with you, or is he with Marshall and me?
Do you want me to read it?
Read the text. Sources. Go ahead and read the text. You got time to read
because
the text.
Bruce is right on this, because he also adds to our team, Robbie and Tyler.
I love Bruce.
The tree and Tyler.
Yay, Bruce.
So yeah, one argument we all miss is how the pitcher is doing that day. Are there stressful innings? Horton was showing no signs of stress or lack of command. On 9-3, he could have easily gone 6. Or you could have taken him out after a first walk. Second walk in this case. No metric that applies, as Hawkins says. Voodoo coaching. Start by start, you consider what the pitcher is that day.
And he covered Mark Pryor and Kerry Wood. That's amazing.
I see what you're saying.
Hey, Marshall,
you're
going to say Bruce Levine's wrong? You're going to say Bruce is wrong?
Bruce is not wrong.
Bruce is bringing up a great point. None of the points
Bruce
that
is
you
always
guys
right.
brought up, but also I
mean,
stick with what I said.
We brought up the concept of going 6 innings and realizing that it puts the team in a better position to win.
No. What I was saying was Robbie acted like he can't be taken out because he's throwing a no-hitter. I still stand by my point. That has nothing to do with anything.
Let him cook.
Let him have fun.
Go back and listen to that segment on the Odyssey app. Was that 10:25 when that all happened?
11.
You guys were on higher. I would strongly
recommend
it. As you were, too,
you were in this burning building with us.
Oh, yeah. But it was different for me. It was so funny. Like, real quick texture. I was out last night at a concert, so I did not watch the game in real time. And so I'm just seeing the text messages and the anger going back and forth. I'm like, I got to get back.
I was fuming.
Yeah. And then I'm like, as I'm watching the game on DVR, I'm like, oh, okay. I get it. Okay. I see where Tree's going. Oh, okay. Marshall's doing it. Layla's saying that. So it was kind of fun to follow along.
Well, and then the decisions they're in. Yeah.
How about that lineup decision, okay? Can we focus on that for once? No?
What? Okay.
We have focused many times on the lineup decisions for this
season.
I
guess it's time for us to move on, Layla.
We'll also focus on this lineup. Would you like to hear the guests on the Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody show? We have them on Mondays. At 11 a.m., it is our friend, the Iowa Hawkeye. You know him well, Anthony Herron.
What up, Ant? Pop the trunk, somebody. Pop the trunk.
Hopefully not singing during your...
How dare you?
How dare you? You're allowed to sing if you want to sing on this program.
Well, you wait, Layla. Layla, you say that now, Layla. Big Ant starts singing while you're talking. Good luck.
You act like we've never had Ant on the show.
Also, I do that intentionally all the time. Like, there was an afternoon show where he and I just sang and Shane nearly flipped his brain.
Oh, man, you guys are in on
the bit. Shane and Teddy were so mad.
Love Big Ant. Can't wait to have him on the program.
Can't wait.
You ain't my beard.
Okay.
Poor David Haw.
He's like, okay, enough of your silliness.
Speaking of the Take the North podcast, a man named Dan Wiederer joins our show on Monday at 1.
Weedsy! We got a great episode up right now. Lots of predictions on Take the North.
Oh, yeah? Well, you're predicting more with us today at 1.
Yes,
so.
Yes. Our predictions, our categories are different. They go beyond. So I would suggest that, and I would suggest you listen to the Raheem and Air show today.
With Mark Brody.
Hey, how's it going?
The announcement was about you.
Oh, yeah.
I learned it from you on Tuesday at 11.
I learned it from you, Dad.
He's your favorite long snapper. He's back. It's Patrick Manley. Maybe he gets another El Camino someday. Oh, who knows?
Sorry to stop his tour of the world, but yeah, I'm glad that he is back with us. That's awesome.
I am too. Also on Tuesdays, it's our guy. I can't wait to hear Tim Jenkins be somewhat optimistic about what he might be seeing out of the Bears offense. He's on Tuesdays at 1. On Wednesdays at 11, you know the man. He arrived in Philly yesterday. He hails from West Virginia. It's Mike Florio. And then a special guest joins us every Wednesday at 1. I would like for my friend Mark Rohde to do his impression of him in order for you to figure out who it is.
I mean, I heard you guys doing a thought exercise earlier.
Maybe
I don't
really
work there anymore. Nobody tells me what to do when I walk in those hallways. I kind of own the place.
I take an afternoon bath. Danny Perkins. Danny will join us at 1. And also on Wednesdays, Grody won't get to mess with Danny because Grody's got to be at Hallis Hall.
I know. I can't believe that. I can't believe it. We've got Danny on and I don't get to talk to him. That's so sad.
Well,
I'll listen to him though.
Maybe, let him in.
Maybe we can figure it out. So you just heard him at 11:25. Paul Churchian will join us at that time every Thursday to talk fantasy football and Vikings things, which I think will be very valid this year. And then starting today... In fact, he'll join us at 12:25, Jarrett Payton.
Yeah, JP. I was thinking about JP last night because Cliff Floyd revealed that he went to the Soldier Field game against the Saints in 1984 when Walter Payton broke Jim Brown's rushing record.
Oh, wow.
Cliff Floyd remains the coolest.
Oh, he was awesome, man. I love listening to him in the booth. I think they should add him to the booth. I think they need a three-person booth, too.
And he's afraid of spiders, apparently. I thought Cliff Floyd was afraid of nothing.
There's a lot of spiders throughout the press box and those booths at Wrigley Field. I can tell you that. And so can all the other reporters who are nodding their heads right now. Yes, yes, there's lots of spiders.
There are.
Yeah.
It's
this
weird.
Is spider season.
It is.
Okay. We're a spider.
Phobia
for everyone.
This is a spider city. We're very proud of our spiders.
Yeah, but don't forget, they work eating bugs for you. So
yeah, spiders are our friends.
Yes. Jarrett Payton at 12:25 every other Thursday.
What? Every other Thursday? What?
Because we also share him with the afternoon show. Isn't that correct?
Oh, Jarrett's
on the afternoon.
Show.
And the morning show?
Okay,
man,
fine.
Jarrett's for everyone.
Yeah.
Fine.
Okay, fine.
But do you know who we also share with the morning show?
Yes.
He's coming on at 12:25. He is the former broadcast partner of Marshall Harris in not one but two cities. Tell him who it is.
It is Clay Harbor, the self-proclaimed clay maker, to which I answer that and say, let's be honest, Mr. Harbor, I molded you from clay into what you are today.
The most fit man in Chicago, Clay Harbor.
He's lost a step.
I love it.
This is a shot, and it has been fired by one Marshall Harris. Yeah, I don't think enough people know that story. We have time. Would you like to mention how that happened?
Clay was a former Eagles player. I covered him in Philadelphia. He's
Eagles.
A tight end. Catching passes from the likes of Michael Vick, that era. And then he actually, I didn't even know he was in Chicago. I moved here, became the sports director at CBS Chicago. And we needed someone for our post-game show. And I was like, well, what about Clay? when Clay was trying to break into broadcasting, I was like, all right, we'll have him in. And the rest, as they say, is history. He did our post-game shows, and now he's on the big pro football show on CHSN.
Yeah, standing in front of a monitor teaching you about football. Also on Thursdays, he's sitting to my left. His name is Mark Rotin.
Hey, how's it going? I think I can find some times for you guys. I'll try to carve it out.
Yeah, can you like hang out with us and talk to us about football on Wednesdays and Thursdays?
As you say, Layla, it's the hangout show. So I will hang out with you
from
guys.
From Palace Hall.
That's what we want you to
the
do.
The Hall. Yes.
Oh, good. 224 guest Danny Parkins. All right. We got one. Also, here is our list on Fridays. Is it Hog? Is it Hoge? I can't tell.
Hoge.
Adam Hoge.
Hoge. I saw him yesterday. Hoger. He did confirm it's Hoge. Yes.
And Hoge's Adam Hog.
Adam Hog.
He's got ideas, and he also will join us on Fridays at 11. We are looking forward to it. On Fridays at 11:25, you know him well. He made his start on the night shift with one Lawrence Holmes and Melissa Rokita. Shout out to Rocky. It is Joe Ostrowski.
Joe-O!
Joe-O of BetQL will get you ready for your betting weekend.
I miss Joe.
Talk Bears at 11:25, and then at 12:25... He is the one of reasonable reporting. He is a Northwestern fan and alum. He's got red hair, and he's on the Bears beat. Some call him Fishy Business.
He is fishy.
Kevin Fishbane.
Love Fishy Business.
Fresh so Fishbane.
Love hit Fresh Fishbane.
Every Friday.
He witnessed,
Fridays
by the way.
Fridays are for fish. Everybody
fish on
knows
Friday.
That.
Yeah.
Fishy Business. I love it.
So there you have it. Anthony Heron, Dan Wiederer, Patrick Manley, Tim Jenkins, Mike Florio, Danny Parkins, Mark Grody, Paul Charchian, Jarrett Payton or Clay Harbor, Mark Grody, Adam Hoge, Joe Ostrowski, and Kevin Fishbane, and more, because you know we don't stop there when it comes to bringing you the best expert analysis here on The Score. It is time for 5 on Index. We have 5 hot sports questions, and they are varied today. Rahimi Harris, Mark Grody, and you next.
Sox.
Bears.
EAGALES.